We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Easily one of the most fun shows to do any time of the year, as March Madness is put into us in the form of a 68-team bracket. That will play out over the next few weeks. All sorts of things to get to today, not the least of which where KU and K-State are headed. Who are the teams to beat? The regions that are the deepest? Upset possibilities, etc., etc., etc. Shockers going to the NIT as they'll head to South Carolina, hopefully, for the first two rounds of the NIT. All things as we get going this morning on Sports Daily. There's Shane Dennis. How was your weekend, Shane?
Pretty busy, of course, but it was nice enough to get done with the baseball game yesterday in time to get back and watch the selection show and then the ensuing fallout and then the NIT selection. So as it turns out, and we'll talk to Paul Sollentrop here in a minute, but as it turned out, that Wichita State win over Temple was pretty damned important, because if not, they might not have been in the NIT. As it is, they got a 6 seed by knocking off Temple. I mean, not definitely by knocking off Temple, but the way I see it,
it helped.
Sure. They lost that game.
Yeah.
They're 18-15, right? No, 18-14. Yeah. One less loss.
Yeah, that's right.
The losses would be
14.
The same. 18-14.
Yeah.
And, but they did, and they're in, and they go play Furman and have Paul Sollentrop from Wichita State Strategic Communications talk about it in the next segment. But all in all, like you said, a fun day today. It was fun last night to watch the reveal. A lot of controversy from those that didn't get in the big dance, complain about the net. And then the Stanford AD, who is a committee chair, counter with Quad one wins. So there's a lot of those cool little buzzwords that were bounced back and forth. And Jay Billis, who said last night and also said on Golic and Wingo, which I thought he put it really perfectly, and this is how I feel on this. When it comes to the little guy, sometimes getting, and Dick Vitale complained about this, the little guy got pushed out by Arizona State, Temple, the big guys that had a lot of losses. And so Vitale was lamenting the fact that the little guy didn't actually get a fair shake in a 25 win, you know what I mean about little guy, non-power five.
Right. I understand. Right.
But Jay Billis came back with, look, everybody does actually have a chance to get in this tournament and win it all, unlike any other tournament. Instead of a Lipscomb team. And help me here. Did Lipscomb get in or out?
No, they're in the NIT. Okay. But they're one of those like 25 win teams.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll use Lipscomb as an example.
Furman. One of those teams. Yeah. Sure.
Instead of those guys being irritated at Florida, who's double digit losses and they're a 10, or for example, Minnesota or Seton Hall, there's a good example.
Sure.
Instead of being chapped at teams like that, the auto qualifiers from the SWAC and the MAAC, which is Iona, those are the bid stealers.
Sure.
Those are the guys.
Because they're every year taking them.
And they don't have a chance. Those are
and they don't register.
Constantly in the lower third of any kind of metric you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of metric you want to use.
Right.
So those are the real bid stealers, and that was Billis's point, and that's been my point all along. I don't think, and I'm not sure how you pick and choose and which auto bids you use, but regular season champions would be a good place to start, I think.
I think so.
But still, that would not preclude Abilene Christian and Prairie View A&M and Iona from getting into this tournament. which
well we and if you use that metric and that logic, which by the way I'm fine with, because I think regular season performance is much more indicative than what you do 3 days in a row in the month of March in a postseason tournament. But we wouldn't have had UMBC last year. They won in a conference tournament. That's how they got in into this tournament. Vermont would have won out of that league a year ago. They're in it this year because they took care of their business. But no, I think you're right, and you bring up a good point. There are what? I don't know the exact number, 8 or maybe 10 leagues at the back end of this thing that get the automatic bids that have never won games in this tournament or have won very few games in this tournament, but generally are not factors or are relevant in this tournament. And that brings up a bigger argument. What is the tournament? Is the tournament, is it for finding it? Is it for winning it? Is it for going to it? Is it for just being a part of it? And maybe the answer is different at a place like Kansas than it is, say, at UMBC or fill in the blank. Abilene Christian's
a good
example.
Of course it's
year,
different for them.
Right?
Just get
sure
in.
It is.
Just get me
exactly.
on a poster. Give me a T-shirt. Give me all the goodies.
Right.
I went to the NCAA tournament. Yes.
I might have a chance to be on one shining moment. I mean, I don't care whatever the motivation is. It doesn't make any difference to me. I appreciate the fact that at Kansas, your goals and aspirations every year are to win a national championship. But I understand that no less telling and no less compelling is Abilene Christian getting into this tournament. These guys going to just to be able to go and on those practice days, be a part of the 8 teams that are working out in that blank arena. BOK Center in Tulsa this weekend happens to be one of the spots. But to be a part of that and to be a part of the press conferences and to be part of the pageantry, even if it's only for 40 minutes or 20 minutes or 18 or 12, whatever it ends up being, that has great value to me. Maybe not competitive value, but think about what that means to a youngster from Abilene Christian. I played in the NCAA tournament. 35 years from now, he'll be telling his grandkids, yeah, I played in the same tournament that Zion Williamson was in.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think those things have real value. And when they start getting put aside for other things, which I competitively understand in an argument, would certainly understand, I think we're getting away from really what this thing should mean.
Well,
maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm being too. Maybe I'm being.
Sad. It has a lot of different definitions, like you said, to start your rant with. You can't. Some of it's entertainment. Some of it's let's give a lot of teams a chance to win this, but not all. I think it would put the committee under an unbelievable amount of strain and unnecessary scrutiny if we did away from the auto bids. Then they would have to pick the 68 most deserving teams. Then you would have to use the net a little bit more. Then you would have to really lean on the quad 1-2 wins and versus 3-4 losses. That's just my opinion, though. I don't care that UMBC beat Virginia. I don't want them in the tournament. I'd rather have a conference tournament champion from the SoCon that happened to go 30-2, and the only losses were to somebody really good in November that they had to go, and showed that they tried in the non-conference, but zoomed through their regular season. And I'm just using, SoCon as an example. But give me one of those guys. I want to see Abilene Christian. Good for their athletes. It's not their fault. I don't want to see them, and I don't want to see Fairleigh Dickinson, and I don't really even want to see Montana, the Big Sky, for example. But again, I understand that there are plenty of little guys that get the chance. And there are plenty of hard decisions having to be made by this committee. most notably probably NC State. We heard from the athletic director, Debbie Yao, who was disappointed that NC State, which had a net ranking of 33, did not get in. And everybody in the first four in Dayton had a net ranking worse than that.
Right.
Belmont's was 47, Temple's was 56, Arizona State's was 63, St. John's was 73.
But let me ask you a quick pulse check question. Are you better, would you rather have NC State in or Belmont, for instance? Let's just use those two right then and there.
Well, I wouldn't mind having Belmont's resume sitting next to me, but the argument,
it's pretty good. It's a pretty good. It's not a bad resume. It's not as good as North Carolina State's, at least on just on
look,
first it, quick
just
impression.
Just like the RPI, the net was a tool that they used to sort things out and not the end all be all, and that's what Debbie Yao kind of was leaning on. But the committee chair and the selection, Bernard Muir, the guy from Stanford. He went on to say that, hey, with all due respect, I'm paraphrasing here, all due respect, NC State had a lot of chances in quadrant one to take care of business, and they went 3-9. So while you look at NC State's schedule, it looks nice because they went 22-11, and they had really no bad losses. All their losses were to, almost all of them, were to ranked teams or teams really high up in the ACC. But you needed to beat a few more of them. You had your chance inside your league to beat a few more of them, and they went 3-9. Clemson also, they went 1-10 against quad one teams, and Texas won 5 games and had a net ranking of 38. They had to go to the NIT too, so actually they probably had more of a gripe. But as you and I talked about, they went 16-16, so it was almost unthinkable to even put them in the NCAA.
Right.
But frankly, they had a better beef than NC State did. And as it turned out, NC State wasn't even in the first four out. Alabama, TCU, Indiana, and Greensboro were technically the first four out. So kudos to the committee for not just putting in some, I don't want to call NC State mediocre, but just a middling Power Five school.
Yeah.
Although there are a handful of Power Five schools that had an under 500 record that were pretty comfortably in the NCAA tournament.
Sure. It's funny, a team like NC State, and I followed that, because Shane, to be honest with you, I felt like there was less controversy than normal in the fallout of this. And maybe I wasn't paying,
No, I think you're right. I think
quite as much, but I think by and large, most people were like, kind of, okay, this is what we got. Let's go. I mean, you know, I didn't feel like there was a lot of pushback when TCU and Texas didn't get into the tournament.
But
NC
you know
State,
why?
Obviously.
Because Belmont got a first four invitation.
Mm-hmm.
They gave Wofford a 7.
Right.
And you know, there were examples across the board of that made people on their couches all across the country go, yeah, I'm nodding my head here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's my issue, and you bring up the SoCon, and so I'll just throw this out there. If the SoCon was good enough to have Wofford as what, a 7?
7.
Then are you telling me that really one of these other three teams aren't good enough to be in this tournament? If you've got a team that's good enough to be a 7, and the SoCon was historically strong. It was probably the deepest and the strongest this league has ever been this year.
Mm-hmm.
Greensboro was really good. Furman was really good. There was one other team in that league that was really good. I mean,
East Tennessee State was pretty good. I don't know if they rise to the really good level that you're talking about, but there was.
But I mean, they had some really nice teams in that league. It was very, very competitive at the top end. I mean, if you really want to get right down to it, so what you're telling me is that you've got Wofford good enough to be a 7, but you can't get Greensboro or Furman, or I guess East Tennessee doesn't have quite the same resume.
Right, right.
But to get into the tournament, this would have been a good year for multiple teams from the SoCon, which has never, I believe, had multiple teams in the tournament to have had so. So there's all sorts of different ways that you can go. But at the end of the day, I thought it was a relatively calm selection experience compared to years past. There was as much grinding from some about KU being put into a path to Kansas City as there was anything else,
yeah.
For instance.
And that was kind of below the surface. You had to follow all
right.
You had to kind of fill in some blanks and be like, what? They're going to end up in Kansas City?
Well, they've got a lot of work to do. But we'll see, right?
They
I
do.
Don't know.
I would be, and all right, so let's get to it. Why, even though I would think it would be unlikely that Kansas beats both Northeastern and Auburn, but they might, or New Mexico State, who they already played, by the way.
Sure.
And get to right. Kansas City. Is that more of a unfair advantage for Kansas, or more of a what did we do to deserve this for North Carolina?
Yeah, I think it's more of that. I really do.
Now, I understand the rewarding Kansas for the toughest non-conference schedule mm-hmm. in the country. You've got to put some, you know, teeth into that and reward Kansas in some way for that. But detractors would say, look, they didn't win the regular season, they didn't win the conference tournament title, and yet they've got a chance to play in Kansas City.
Well, yeah. They've got a chance to play North Carolina in Kansas City. Doesn't that change the metric a little bit? How did the Iowa State game work out in Kansas City?
Yeah,
I
but
no,
the
I hear
fact
you.
That they get to go there, if they take care of their business, that has rankled more than a
Shane,
few people.
Can you imagine the ticket grab in Kansas City if KU, Kentucky, and North Carolina are all in Kansas City? Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't
And
even,
Iowa State, for that matter. I mean,
yes.
You know, they're,
sure.
they'll travel.
Sure. I mean, it's just a scalper's dream.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the power and light district and like, okay, let me work this out. I've got three of the biggest potential programs in the country with the most rabid fan bases that travel perhaps as well or better than any in the country. And you've got Kansas right down the road. I mean, my God, it'd just be absolutely insane. But there's a lot of water that has to fall under the bridge before we get to that point. So overall, where do you come in on this thing? Is the Midwest, I think that seems to be the general consensus. On first blush, it appears to be the toughest region on paper. Funny how it always works out. We love to play this game. Which mm-hmm. one's the toughest one? But it oftentimes doesn't play out that way. But the Midwest has the appearance, just with the heavyweights that are in there, of being the toughest region. Yay or nay?
Yay, if yeah. you discount the fact that Duke is the heaviest favorite mm-hmm. since the 14-15 Kentucky Wildcats. So by that, you would say the de facto toughest is the East because Duke's in it. Also, Michigan State got screwed a little bit because they were bandied about to being on the one line by the committee, and then they had to settle for a two, but you put them in with the number one overall. Now, mm-hmm. Kind of like Kansas, a lot of water has to pass under the bridge before Michigan State actually gets to the East Regional Final and has to play Duke. But if that's the case, that could be argued as a little unfair. If they were a borderline one seed and the best two seed, what are they doing in Duke's regional?
Well,
if that's the case, you probably should have yeah. who would be the weakest two. And that's up for some debate, too, because Tennessee, mm-hmm. Kentucky, and Michigan are all twos.
That's three pretty good twos.
Yeah. I would.
Who's the other one?
Michigan, Kentucky,
Michigan,
and Tennessee. I would have probably put Michigan
that's
State
right.
in Gonzaga's regional if they were as good a two as we were led to believe, and then put Michigan in Duke's. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind
okay.
of splitting hairs.
Right.
Then you got
right.
Kansas State in San Jose, and
mm-hmm.
Oklahoma's in Columbia. Iowa State's in Tulsa. Texas Tech's in Tulsa.
Yeah.
And then Baylor's in Salt Lake.
And we'll get
State.
A little bit more into the specifics of what KU and K-State are up against. K-State's up against a a wholly veteran team that's deep and has won 30 games.
Yep.
This UC Irvine team is, and now the league they play in is, I mean, it's competitive, but it's not particularly good.
No.
But I don't know.
That's why they're
a
13. You won 30 games and they're a 13 seed. So there's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there you go.
Proof positive, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Northeastern for the Jayhawks. And Furman for the Shockers.
Yep.
And to that end, Paul Sullentrop from Wichita State will check in with us next, get a little view of the Shockers over the weekend. I thought a very good weekend, being in a position to win the game and get to the finals. Of the American was, again, to me, another step forward, a really nice win over Temple. We'll talk about that, amongst other things, with our buddy Paul Sullentrop as we continue in a moment. Shane and Bruce with you, Monday morning edition, Sports Daily, the March Madness edition. Stay with us at 869-1240. We're back in a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.